Good morning. Welcome to the service on this 4th of July holiday weekend, I guess it is. And we're glad that you've chosen to be here and worship with us. And if you're visiting, why, we appreciate your attendance, and you are our welcome and special guest. So let's begin our worship service with, in the blue book, as we call it, number 210 in the Sweet By and By. Sounding good. All right. Let's turn over to 275. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll begin our effort meeting here. And I trust that we've been praying. I trust that we've been praying for revival, for the Spirit to come in and dwell among us. And we sing this as a song of prayer. Revive us again, 275.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam, Sister Carolyn. We're glad to see each and every one out this morning. As I said in Sunday school, we're a little bit thin. It is the time of year for people to be vacationing. But one thing I'll say is I'm glad they're getting their vacation in now. And then next week when we have vacation Bible school, or I should say this week, and then the next 2 weeks from tonight, or today, I should say, we'll be starting revival. We need all hands on deck. That was the saying in the Navy. From what I understood, when the battle started to rage, we'll say during World War II, they wanted all the hands to come and get ready to fight. And what they did, they all had their post. Now, you might say, I don't really have a post. Oh, yes, you do. That's the best way I can put it. Oh, yes, you do. You may not really think of your spot as being a post for you to be in, but you do. The Bible tells us to stand in the gap. And what that means is if we've got two men that are fighting for a place and one fail, there's room for somebody to step up and fight in that place. You stand in the gap. And what we need during this revival and during vacation Bible school is for us to stand in the gap. You know, I think about it a lot of times when people come into our church that are not saved. And as I said in Sunday school this morning, there'll be kids that will come into our church that really, they may have come to church just a few times. For lack of better words, they use us for a babysitting service for a little while. That's fine. I'm glad they're here is what I'll say about it. They get to hear about Jesus. And the best thing that we can do is tell them about the Lord. That's the best thing we can do. And as I said this morning, hopefully and prayerfully, they'll hear about Jesus and it'll get into their hearts in such a way that they'll trust the Lord and be saved. We may not see it here at the church, but they may go somewhere else or go home and start praying about what they've heard here. So it's very important that we all stand in the gap. And you might say, well, how are we going to stand in the gap at Vacation Bible School? We've got teachers. We've got people that's taking care of this and that. You never know when that somebody, one of these children, may listen to what you're talking about. And it will influence them that they need to be saved. So take advantage of the opportunities that God is going to give you during these coming weeks to do what the Lord would put upon you, that you can move right up there into that gap and tell people about the Lord. So let's keep that in mind. It's good to see each and every one here today. I think I'm a little bit short on kids today. We want to go to our children's church. So kids, everybody that will, come on up here. Some of you older ones that haven't been coming up here, I need y'all too. You used to come, so come on back. I need your help. Come on. Come on up here. I'd like to see Brother Key come up here with us. Him or Sister Nettie, I'm just glad to see everybody come up here. Good morning, everybody. Thank y'all for coming up. You set a great example today. Remember me talking about examples here a couple weeks ago, that what you do, others are going to do like you. So I want you to set the example for the kids coming up this next week. Some of you are already saved. How many of you are already saved? Good, that's a testimony right there. You testified that you're saved. And by you testifying that you're saved, what did that tell these others that are sitting around here? God can save them too. You see, I've been talking about standing in the gap today, and what I want you to think about is this. Remember, I've been talking about Job the last couple of days or a couple of weeks in our children's church. You know, I said he was a man that God really liked, that he was a man that followed God, done what God wanted him to do all the time. Yet, the devil struck him with disease. And he had sores. He lost his whole family. He lost all of those things. But one thing that Job never did while he was going through all of this, he never turned his back on God. You see, that's what it's going to take this week and in the coming weeks for your friends to get saved. Yeah, your friends. Do you want your best friend to know what you have as far as salvation is concerned? I'm glad you do. Tell them about it. You might think, well, I'm too young. I can't do that. Do you know what you had, what you got when you got saved? This is not only for these that are up here saved. This is for the others back here too. Tell everybody about what you got. You see, Job, all the time that he was sick, okay, if you had a sore from right here, we'll say right here, let's put it that way, that'd bother you, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want other people to see it, would you? But Job, he had sores not only here, but here, 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 all over his leg. Bible said from the top of his head all the way down to the soles of his feet. You know, I can't imagine being that way. I can't imagine having that many sore places. But all during that, and even though he lost all of his kids, all of his house, all of his possessions that he had, he said, I'll not turn away from God. You see, what God is asking you to do this week, and the next week, and the week after that, is just to stay with him. That's what he's asking you to do, to be like Job. Now, all during that time that Job was suffering, he had three friends that he said, Job, you bound to done something wrong. That's why you're sick. But he never forsook God. And what he ended up doing, he ended up praying for his friends and praying that God would help them to get their hearts right. For ours that are saved, thank you for testifying a while ago. Just by doing that, you told these others, God saves. Now, what I'm going to ask these two up here to do is if the Lord impresses you over these 2 weeks, if you feel like you need to tell somebody what happened, both of you got saved right over there, right? If you feel like telling somebody about what happened over there, I want to encourage you to be like Job and stand up for him, for God. All right, I'll turn you loose. Thank you for coming up, Luke. I'm looking for forward to the time when the other Luke, little Luke, will come up. We are glad to see each and every one here today. I want to say I appreciate all of our visitors being here today. We thank you for coming out and helping us out in our service today. We want everybody to follow the Lord in this service. Good to see everybody. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to make one prayer request first, and that is, let's remember the people in Texas. It was mentioned in Sunday school. How many of you thought about them? How many of you mothers, and this is what Paula said yesterday, can you imagine those mothers thoughts about their children. Can you imagine that? And I heard somebody say, fathers, we mourn in our own way. It's bad on us, but it's bad on mothers, isn't it? Let's remember those families that's lost these children. I told Paula last night, I said, I just pray that those children, if they hadn't been saved, they hadn't come to the age of accountability yet. And the Lord just carried them on into glory, is what I pray that they did. And let's pray for those families, though. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? I want us to start thinking about revival more. We've been talking about it a couple weeks, and it's not the only time to be saved. I do want to remind you of that. Do you have somebody on your heart that you want to see get saved during these couple weeks? Let's share our burdens is what I want you to do. Let's share our burdens one with another. Anybody else got a prayer request? Lord help. Let's do remember her. Somebody else? There's others here that we need to remember in our prayers. And let's keep them on our hearts. And let's pray that God will touch their hearts in such a way that they'll seek Jesus out and they'll seek him and believe in him to the saving of their soul. Let's do remember them. Anybody else have a prayer request before we go? I'll ask you to remember me as I try to stand today if it's the Lord's will. We want everybody to pray, and we just ask that you pray from your heart is what I'll ask you to do today. Let's call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray this morning is what I'll ask you to do. Everybody pray. Anybody else? Let's remember the revivals. Luke's at Mount Tabor this week, our old home church, and he's going to be there in revival this week. And remember Hope. Somebody else? Brother Leslie, will you start our prayer, please? Everybody pray.
Song. Our country. I believe we did this around Memorial Day, but this is fitting. 126. We'll do the first and last verse. I believe that's a sincere desire of her heart.
Amen.
That the lost be saved.
Amen.
And it's been mentioned already, and we'll continue singing in just a second, but everybody's exposed to risk of nature, yes. of geology, of accidents. Nobody is immune, people.
That's right.
And we don't have the promise of any extra time. But take advantage of the time while you have it. Lost person, if you're here. It's a good warning.
Amen.
We had this song on our heart. It was my grandmother's favorite, number 27, and we'll try to get through it. I don't know if we've sung it here or not, but we'll try it. When They Ring the Golden Bells, 27. We got one more song that we want to do by request. Number 262. 262.
Thank you.
Sister Carol. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart? Everybody be prayerful this morning. We had this message, this thought laid on her heart, I guess probably about Wednesday night, I guess it was. And I usually try the Lord on these things. Bible tells us to try the spirits. So usually when I pray, when I get a thought and I study it out, and I'll go back right after that and I'll say, Lord, is this yours or is this me? I want to make sure that what I preach is what's of God. And we need to follow the Lord. We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 8th chapter of Mark. The 8th chapter in the book of Mark. And let's ask the Lord to help us today in this service. I'm going to ask you a question before I start, though. That last song says, oh, how I love Jesus. Do you love him? Y'all awake? Do you love Jesus today?
Yes.
That sounded better. Do you really love him?
Yes.
Think about how Peter was asked of the Lord, Peter, lovest thou me? How would you answer that question? Probably just like we did a minute ago. Yeah, I love you, Lord. Turn around and he said, second time, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Well, yeah, Lord, I love you. You start to get a hint, don't you? When he turns around, he asks you the third time, didn't he? Peter, do you love me? Has the Lord ever tapped on your heart and asked you that question? Do you really love me? Good thing for us to think about, isn't it? How much do we love the Lord today? You that are married today, if your wife asked you that question, that's talking to us men, if you half-heartedly answer that question, how much trouble do you get in? Now, us gentlemen, we don't usually ask that question, do we? But if they just half-heartedly answered the question like we do about Jesus, I guess we probably wouldn't appreciate it too good, would we, gentlemen? How much do we love the Lord this morning? Read along with us, if you would. Mark the 8th chapter, verse 34. And I asked you to pray for me today. I want this message to be of God. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. That's reading the verses 34 through 38 for our reading lesson this morning. I'm going to ask you this morning again, how much do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Now, I was the one that requested the song. I want us to think about that today. Do we really love Jesus today? Now, the main part of this message, Lord willing, is going to be about this last verse, where he said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh to the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Basically today, when I said that earlier about if our wives asked us about whether or not we loved them or not, and we give a half-hearted answer, I said we'd be in trouble today. I want you to think about how that the Lord is asking us today, how much do we love him? Would he be ashamed of us with our answer today? Ooh, that's a hard question, isn't it? It's one that we need to question ourselves today. Should we allow the Lord to be ashamed of us today? Now, if you'll notice in our reading lesson here, it says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Most of us would say that cross would represents Jesus' cross. But Jesus is doing the speaking here, isn't he? He is talking about a cross that is basically a burden. Yeah, Jesus was going to carry his cross, and he bore his cross for a while, but we find that Jesus broke down under that cross, and there was a man that was compelled to carry that cross for him. But Jesus had a greater burden in his day. And what we find in the scriptures here is that he says in this verse here, what he says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In those days, there were other men who had bore a cross to their death. There were men who had transgressed the laws of the people and of the Roman law. And because of that, what we find in the scripture was that they had to bear their cross. But it was a cross that led unto death. I hope and pray that none of us ever has to bear a cross or because of the cause of Christ that we have to give up our lives. I hope we none of us have to go through that kind of suffering. And notice that I said that it is suffering here. That is the kind of cross that Jesus was talking about. Us suffering for the cause of Christ. Now, I talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning about a type of suffering. Peter spoke about a suffering that the people of God would suffer. It's a kind of suffering that we are familiar with in these days. It's not the kind of suffering like the apostles suffered, like Jesus suffered, even unto death. But we suffer when individuals look at us and we tell them that we're saved and they look at us like we're crazy. That's a little bit of suffering. Many times we as God's people, we have in our minds that we cannot say things to individuals about the Lord because that it will offend other individuals. That's a common thought these days. Because that individuals have in their minds that the suffering that they would be inflicted would be from the looks from the individuals. It might be from something that they would say against us in that day. But these kinds of sufferings, we do suffer from, don't we? But my friends today, we have a cross to bear in this day. How you might say, what kind of cross are we talking about? A cross is a burden. It is something that you carry in this life. It is something that you carry that actually it weights you down. You might remember the burden of sin that you had before that you got saved. You felt like you was weighted down. You felt like you couldn't function with it upon you. You might have even thought yourself, I can't survive this type of burden. But with the help of God, you survived it. I want you to understand today that God wants us to suffer for his cause. I've heard individuals, I'm not good at it, I've heard individuals talk about people talking to others in the store. You've heard me talk about different ones that do that. I'm not good at it, but I'm trying to get better. That is a little bit of suffering for me to speak to individuals. And so by that suffering that I speak unto those individuals, I glorify God. He said unto us that it was important for us to take up his cross and follow him, or follow me, is what Jesus said. Jesus wants us to pick up the burden of his word, pick up the cause that he has. It's not an easy cause. I've been in the way of ministry now for better than 50 years, and it is a blessing each and every day. But it is also a burden that falls upon me. You that have been saved, you have a burden to bear also. It may not be the call of preaching, but you have a burden to bear. It might be your children, it might be your grandchildren that you have upon you, and you're bearing that burden. And the way that you bear it is by showing them the way to God. That was what Jesus was talking to them about. He said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, gospel's the same shall save it. Now, we here today realize that he was talking to a group of men that were going to give their lives for the cause of God. But notice he said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake. My friends, today, I want us to give up something for the cause of Christ. I want to go, if you would, over to the book of Ezra in the eighth chapter of the book of Ezra. In those days, the children of Israel had returned from Babylon, and they were not in the best of shape. I want you to understand that. When they came back from Babylon, I'm talking about spiritually. They had been over in Babylon. First of all, they had been in Israel and they had denied God. They'd worshiped idols. They had took upon themselves many different things that God was not pleased with. And what God did, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and to destroy them and take them away captive. But there was a group of people that while they were over in Babylon, they wanted to serve God. And when they came back to Jerusalem, when they were able to come back, I want you to listen to what they did. Ezra was a high priest. And what he told them, he says, we need to do something here. We need to get in shape to serve the Lord. Take up the cross is for what he said, in other words. He said, first of all, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him the right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now, he was seeking the Lord for a direction how that the people might get to Jerusalem. That's what he was talking about. I want you to understand today, if you've got family members in this house today, you better be praying for direction for them to get to God. You need to pray to God about this. Now, I want you to notice something here. Ezra proclaimed a fast. Okay, I need to go on a diet, right? That's not what he's talking about. Yeah, we generally think in a fast as doing without food, but a fast is not always doing without food and water. Yes, most of the time in the Bible it was. But sometimes it includes giving up other things for the cause of Christ. Listen to me today. How many of us spend time, I'm guilty of this, how many of us spend time with a television? How many of us spend time with other things in this world, and we go through these things and we spend that time instead of praying to God? Ezra proclaimed a fast that the children and themselves might have direction. What I'm wanting you to understand today is God wants us to want direction. He wants to give us direction, is what he wants us to do. And for us to have that direction, it is necessary sometimes for us to give up some things. It might be for a day. It might be for a week. It might be until the job is done. When I was younger, I farmed. I worked a 40-plus-hour job. I preached the gospel. I done other things. I'm not bragging on me, but there was times I should have given up some things to give it to God. Are you guilty on that? What I'm saying about it is, if you want your children to get the proper direction, get their attention first of all by giving up some things for the Lord. It might not be a phone. It might not be a television. It might not be a sport. It might be something else. But they need the direction to find God. I told them in Sunday school this morning, I talked to that preacher Paula was talking about. He told his testimony. He said, I was standing in the pew. They'd given the invitation. And he said his aunt walked up behind him. And she put her arm around me. And she said, isn't it time? I think I'm saying this right. Isn't it time you went to find Jesus? Pretty simple, right? He said, the Lord was already dealing with me. He said, I was already in trouble. And he said, she said this. She said, if you'll go down to the altar, I'll go with you. He said, I'll beat her there. Now, that took some sacrifice. He said, I'd been up there a little while. And he said, there's something came over me. And I think this is the words. He said, I got saved. That's the way he said it. And he said, not only was I rejoicing, but he said the church was rejoicing. Now, you might say, well, why are you saying that? There was people there that gave up something that week for that revival. They gave up time, yeah. But they gave up some time to pray also. They gave up time to talk to God about those souls. He said, I believe my aunt had prayed for me. And now I want you to get something here. I went and talked to him afterwards, and I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, and I asked him to pray for that man. And I asked him, I said, I was privileged to grow up in a church. He talked about their shouting. He talked about his grandmother coming around, had a big beehive up on top of her head. He said, I believe she had 1,000 hairpins in there. And he said, he showed how she shouted and jumped. And he said, every time she jumped, one of them hairpins would fly out. And he said, by the time she got up to me to shake hands with me, he said, her hair was all the way down to her ankles. I went to him afterwards and I said, I was privileged to grow up in a church like that. He said, I wished I could find another one. Did you get what I heard, what I said? He said, I wished I could find a church like that now. I said, your churches don't practice like that anymore. He said, not a one of them. Brothers and sisters, how many of you grew up in a church like that? And you think, oh, that was a privilege to grow up in it. Where are we today? What have we given up for God today? Where we could rejoice at a person being saved. Oh, we rejoiced a few years ago when those kids got saved. Where have we been since then? When others rejoiced, when people got saved. Where were we at when people were rejoicing in being saved years ago? What should we be doing? We ought to be giving up and taking up the cross of God and serving Him. Listen to what He says now. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, we preach that to sinners, don't we? Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a child of God lose hope in God? I'm not talking about losing their salvation. But they got to the place where that they just didn't serve God anymore. They were lost souls to a sense. What were they? Oh, they were saved sinners. But what was they doing? They wasn't doing God any good. When God asked them, how much do you love me, Peter? What did they do? Lord, I love you. Did you? Did they really love him? All right, let's get this last part of this. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We talk about that to sinners too. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. You think that's us today? Are we living in a sinful generation? You better believe it. Are they adulterous? You better believe it. And I'm not talking about just physical adultery. I'm talking about between men and women. I'm talking about spiritual adultery. Amen. They're out there looking for something to make them feel good. They're looking for a promise out of God. Brother Stewart says it many times. People go to church today. God, what can you do for me today? Instead of us saying, God, what can I do for you? He says that a lot of times for us. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation. Did y'all catch what I told the kids this morning? When When the girls raised their hands, I thanked them. I did. I thanked you, didn't I? For saying you're saved. That's not much, is it? It was a lot. Don't get me wrong. That was a lot for them to do that. How much is it for us to say, I love Jesus? How much is it? How much trouble is it for us to tell somebody, I've been saved? I grew up with people that praised God when people got saved. I grew up with people that praised God at the goodness of God. Oh, my goodness. I grew up with these things. They might look at us like we got two heads, but my friends, God knows our hearts. Are we ashamed? What does it mean to be ashamed? What does it really mean to be ashamed? He said, if you be ashamed of me, means to deny. Gentlemen, remember what I said a while ago? If your wife asks you how much you love her, and you half-heartedly do it, you ever wondered how Jesus felt when Peter said, yeah, Lord? When just a few days before he had said, I don't know him. I don't know that man. I'm going to ask you something. Are you guilty of sometimes I don't know Jesus? Are you guilty? I'm ashamed of me. And I know that he is ashamed of me too. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. It used to hurt me when I did something that Mother and Daddy was ashamed of me for. Can you stand for the Lord today? Can you tell the Lord, I love you? Not just, yay, Lord, I love you. But Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you more than all these things. Yeah, Lord, I know you know my heart. But Lord, I love you. To tell Addie? How about telling Joshua? Telling these other kids around here. Anybody else? Anybody else that's lost? Oh, we got them here. We got them over there. Have you told them lately, yeah, I really love the Lord? And not only just telling, but backing it up. Let's go back to our wives, gentlemen. Yeah, I love you, honey. But when we reach around and we embrace them and we hold them and we say, I love you. When they do that to us, what does that do for our feelings? I love the Lord today. Help me to give up things that I may serve Him better. Help me to proclaim a fast. Help me to give up something for Jesus. Help me to give up something that I can pray more. Help me to give up something that I can do more for Him. That's all I'm asking us to do. Let me give you something else. Ask the Lord to keep this thought on your heart this week. Do you love me? That's all He's asking. Are you ashamed of me? If the Lord asked you to do something today, would you do it? You know, Caden took a big step here a couple weeks ago. His life changed. He told he was called to preach. And there's a lot of men that's done that and never preached. But he backed it up and he preached. Thank God for you, son. You know what else he told me before that? I don't want to just preach one time. I want to preach as many times as I can. He'll go into school this year, and I did the very same thing as a God-called preacher. Oh, yeah, he's a preacher. That's different, right? You're saved. You may not be called to preach, but you can go into school. You can tell your best friends about, well, Jesus saved me. You can stand up in church, tell them what the Lord did for you. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. I got to quit, Brother Sam. Don't be ashamed of the Lord while we stand and sing. Let's follow the Lord today. Let's follow Him tomorrow. Let's keep this thought on our hearts that the world may see Jesus in us. That they see that cross that we bear for Him. That we'll bear it to all of them. And that He won't be ashamed of us while we stand and sing.
237. 237.